Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove. They've got brand new vinyl coming in every Friday. This Friday, they have records from The Replacements, Black Sabbath, Monkees, Devo, The Cars, Blue Man Group, Bad Company, Megadeth, Aerosmith, Motley Crue, and all kinds of stuff. So go down there, check it out. They've got this, or 10% off all new purchases, free beer from Four Hands Brewery, new vinyl spinning in store. If you want to find out more information, go to their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages, or musicrecordshop.com. Happy to welcome independentmusicpromotions.com sponsoring this episode of the Rock Paper Podcast. Head over to independentmusicpromotions.com and take a look at what they got going on over there. There's hundreds of various articles discussing today's music trends, including Spotify and, you know, promotion and everything you need to get your band out there more. So it's a lot of great tips, and you can also submit your music to the website for PR purposes if you're interested in stuff like that. So yeah, head over to independentmusicpromotions.com, find their Facebook and Twitter and stuff too, independentmusicpromotions.com.
This is Ryan Kemp with Oxyon Lightning, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Taught him well. Hills of old Kentucky, the driest depths of hell. On the banks of the Ohio, where he was born and raised, I've stood every inch of dirt by learning the evil way. I can get down some moonshine to cure my aching head. Get back here on the hollow log, smoke a hoot instead. Next to my whiskey still. Dammed up the river back in 1938. 5,000 strong, making Kentucky leg. 59, it had enough. Booming tourists wore him down. He raised four boys in Mopar, proud in old St. Louis town. Grandma died and froze up inside, retired back to the hills. Lost his mind for a second time, fired up the whiskey still. Put me out green. Fell in love with the bottom, was only 17. Guess they say that it's in my blood, the boiling copper still. I often think about it, the lonesome with the will. I can get miles of moonshine to cure my aching head. Get back here on the hollow log, poke a hoot instead. Put me out on the river with the lonesome with the will. We're in the back of the dirt floor shack. Next to my whiskey still.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, a Rock Paper Podcast, hanging out, is this technically Soulard?
I call it Bent Park.
Bent Park?
Yep.
Okay.
I know we're not... Avenue.
Yeah. Hanging out with Ryan Kemp, man. Welcome to the show.
Sweet. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Kind of talking, you know, off mic a little bit about some of this, but a lot more and more of these have been happening this way. Guys have been reaching out and wanting to get involved in the show, and which is awesome because it's cool that this is networked out farther and farther to where, you know, but guys like yourself are saying, hey, we you know, we'd like to be included in what you're doing. And so a lot of this, there's been more and more where I'm sitting down for the first time talking to you guys on the mic, and just like tonight. So I'm excited to get to know you a little better. And I guess, I don't know, maybe December or something you reached out, or somewhere around there we started talking, we became friends on Facebook, and you were involved in
Philippalooza?
Yeah, Philippalooza.
Yeah, that was our first event playing at the Old Rock House there.
Yeah.
Great cast of musicians and bands all the way around. That's a fun event.
Sure.
Definitely, I've known Phil for a couple of years and happy to be a part of that as well.
Yeah, man. He's another one I just recently started getting to know a little bit. And but, man, we had a great time talking actually we recorded at Halo Bar. They were going on after Jake's leg there.
Yep.
So
I think I heard Carson on that interview as well.
Yeah, Carson jumped in.
He's a member of Oak Steel and Lightning.
Oh, all right, right on.
On the lead guitar and some vocals. He played some songs in the band too.
Cool. Yeah, I wasn't sure who's all in the lineup there. So
The lineup generally is me, myself, Ryan Kemp, Carson Mann. We recently switched up our drummer situation. Jason King has been the drummer for us for the past year or so. But we recently hooked up with a guy named Bill Bridgman out of Union, who is bringing the heat on the drum set. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I guess we'll start with the band. I started seeing the name. I started, you know, obviously when we became friends on Facebook and stuff. But then along with Philippalooza, and then. You guys, I started following the page, the band page, and you guys went on tour recently.
Yeah, we did a little 10 days, I guess it was 10 shows in 12 days in November. Started out here at the Atomic Cowboy here in St. Louis, which is really, I think, upcoming venue for what's going on in town. Yeah. They've been around for a couple of years, I guess, now, but starting to do there is really
I think that room, starting to blow up. Room used to be the demo.
And I guess the demo moved down the street next to where the Ready Room's at now.
And then they kind of, I don't know, and then like a gramophone. Gramophone used to be more performing, and then like they kind of went down to more just sandwiches kind of thing with a more singer-songwriter acoustic kind of thing in there. And a lot of that stage and curtain and all that kind of stuff, they kind of transformed everything over to bootleg. Bootleg is a great spot, man.
It's working out great. We had a great turnout that night for that show. We left there, played in Wentzville at
you're on my
Bulldog
neck.
Which was definitely an experience
it's an interesting place.
The next night we hit up Westport Saloon in Kansas City, and that was a late show, like 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. It was a pretty rowdy bunch of people out there in Westport Saloon. Then we went out to Colorado, met up with some friends of ours, Jimbo Darvill and the Truckadors. They're out of, I guess it's Fairmont or Longmont out there in Colorado.
Yeah.
And we played a night with them. I think we played Sancho's and Coyote's. Are you familiar with those clubs out there?
No.
They're kind of like the hippie bars.
Yeah.
But to put a somewhat country band into these hippie bars was, I don't want to say we were out of place by any means, but it, you know, a whole new crowd to try to work over with our music. But once we got out of there, we headed all the way out to Durango, Colorado, Buena Vista, Colorado, and there's a few more, it seemed like, kind of our type of people the further out you go into the mountains. But then we got to come back and play a show with Jimbo Darvill and the Truckadors at, I believe it was the Walnut Room on Saturday night, and that was a really good turnout there in Denver. Then we played Netherland, was the last date on the tour. Nice. We did all those shows with Johnny Campbell out of Nashville, Tennessee. He's the brother of Jimmy Campbell, who was a fiddle player for Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. I believe 90 to 93 was his stint. So Johnny's kind of got some of his brother's saw and fiddle skills and brought that into the band. It was a nice little mix. He's more of a traditional bluegrass guy overall, but to throw him in kind of a... It's really hard to put a good thumbprint on where we stand as a band. I want to be outlaw country, but all of our country friends say we're still just a jam band because we do tend to jam from time to time, you know.
Okay. Describing that, my brain went to Blues Brothers when they get booked in the honky tonk and they're, you know, and they got like the chicken fencing like all that. I just just imagine that, like, you guys show up and trying to work over the crowd.
Sure, it worked out well. I mean, people, we seem to be able to warm over people along the way pretty easily, but it definitely being our first trip out to Colorado and wondering, you know, what kind of fan support we'd have. We knew a couple pockets in each town, but still trying to brand our name and get out there and hit the road, you know, see what's up as far as that goes.
Yeah, so you guys have currently three songs on your Bandcamp page.
That's correct.
And which I was jamming those today, man, and I was really digging it. Lonesome Whippoorwill was a lot of fun. And it probably helps just having Whippoorwill because it's not in a lot of songs, but it kind of brought a little, reminded me a bit of like that... Blackberry Smoke.
Okay.
Kind of that southern rock kind of vibe.
Sure, there's definitely, I mean, I guess that's kind of what the school, me and Carson both kind of come from as a jam band, southern rock kind of feel, anything from Charlie Daniels Band and Allman Brothers Band. A lot of even Grateful Dead influences and what we do as far as that goes, but as more older we get, we kind of start respecting the Willie Nelsons and Waylon Jennings and, you know, even Johnny Cash's for that matter. I mean, those guys that are kind of holding down the honky-tonk sound and still being able to incorporate all those sounds together, you know. Lonesome Whippoorwill is a song loosely based on my grandfather and his life in Kentucky and moving to St. Louis and going back to Kentucky after it was all said and done. That's kind of what that song's loosely based on.
Very cool.
You gotta bend the truth sometimes to make it a little bit better. But.
Right. And then, so there's a Tiny Acorn and On the Road. And On the Road was another one that really got my attention. It was a lap steel or something in there?
Pedal steel in that song. Yeah, it's Scott Schwartz on the pedal steel. He's played with the Trophy Mules, I think is his most recent project. I believe he also plays with Prairie Rehab.
Okay.
And there's nothing like the sweet sound of steel. Man. We like to get him around as much as possible. He's definitely kind of a hired gun type situation. When the gig can afford it, we definitely get him on it. And it's fun to have him there. As far as recording goes, we like to get that sound in there. We're looking for a pedal steel player that can go play on the road. So if anybody's out there that's hitting that sound, give us a holler.
I might give you a buddy's number. I got my friend Lance. He's just an incredibly talented guy. I don't know. He's done some studio work, and he's used to playing a... like an acoustic duo kind of thing. Plays guitar, plays steel. He does a lot of slide work and stuff, and he's just a very talented guy, and he likes this kind of music. So it might work out. I don't know. Maybe we'll see if I can connect the dots.
For sure, for sure. That's what it's all about, connecting the dots.
Yeah. So those three songs are unavailable on the Bandcamp, and we're talking a little bit off mic, but you guys looking to potentially get a full length going here soon?
At least an EP, but hopefully a full length by spring. I'm shooting to maybe have it out by Mo Roots. I don't got my fingers crossed that it'll get done in time. I don't want to rush anything.
Definitely, yeah.
But are you familiar with Mo Roots Festival, music festival?
I've never been, but I see a lot of video on YouTube and everything.
I guess they're on their third year now. It's produced by Nonsense Brothers. Mark Harmon and Jason Miner put that together. They do a really good job. It's a great festival spot down at Bass River Resort in Steelville, Missouri. Aaron Gammon, the One Drops, I believe, play two sets a night. Oak Steel and Lightning will be there this year. I think that's April 29th and 30th are the dates on that.
Aaron Cam is one of my favorites, man. I love watching those guys get down.
All those boys can tear it up, man. It's hard. I was about to say, well, Cam can really tear it up on the guitar, but Andy is equally as talented on the bass and Sean on the drums, man.
Oh, yeah. Great band. I love that there's hints of everything, you know, mixed in there, you know, the blues and reggae and that jam feel, but, like, they do their own thing.
It's still a sound of their own, for sure. You can't really, again, put your thumb on what it is that they exactly sound like, because they do cross over into so many sub-genres of the scene and what's going on, but
I love
the fact is they're bringing the heat. That's the bottom line.
And, you know, I can see them a couple times a month down at Broadway Oyster Bar. So
I heard you just acquired a position there.
new employee down there. I was looking for a little change, and they were needing a door guy, so I told them I'd help out, and figured that'd be a cool way to get paid to go to a lot of my favorite shows.
For sure, and you'll probably get to see my face down there quite a bit. We're down there three or four times a week, it seems like. That's kind of, I was driving from the out in the cut, out in Labadee, to the city three or four nights a week to drive back out there, because I live there. I've got a tattoo shop out in Gray Summit.
Yeah.
And now I'm living in the city, driving out there every day to tattoo, but at least I'm making the drive sober as to, you know, maybe slightly tipsy.
Right.
I'd never drink and drive, though. Never do that.
what gets you into tattooing? You just,
It seemed to kind of go, I mean, I never thought that it would go as hand-in-hand as it does with music now, but it's kind of something I picked up as a side hustle on playing music, and now music seems to be somewhat of a side hustle on. It's all just a cohesive hustle. You know, I got to keep myself busy in the daytime hours that I can do tattooing. Nighttime playing music, it definitely seems like it works well.
Yeah.
Probably put, being conservative, probably 30 to 40 hours a week into that stuff. You know, it seems like I'm probably spending more time on it other than that.
My buddy Dave Canoy runs Ink Spot in Troy.
Okay, I've heard of that.
He's been doing really great work. His whole shop's like full of super talented artists, and but I like how you're saying music goes hand in hand. He started putting on like a fan appreciation day kind of thing once a year. Started as like a parking lot party.
Mm-hmm.
It grew. Like, by the fourth year of that, like, they moved over to the fairgrounds because they had outgrown the parking lot. And
fan appreciation for the tattoos or
just for the people that support the shop and everything. So, like, they were friends with some local bands. They'd invited them to come out and jam. And they had, like, a flatbed trailer kind of thing they set up out there. And bands would set up on that for the stage. And, you know, hot dogs and kind of stuff. They was hanging out having a good time. And so that grown, you know, so many people wanted to get involved with that fan appreciation day because the music and who and Dave and Robbie and all the shop is, and they want to be included in all that. They moved over to the fairgrounds and started this Ink Spot block party over there, and now they're like 6 years going at that now. And but it's like a small point fest, you know. It's like they bring in bands like Cavo and Hurt and Shaman's Harvest and, you know, all these like regional, you know, mostly all have like ties to St. Louis, and they just packed this place. They had Story of the Year headlined it this last summer.
Nice.
So, but anyway, you know, just go to the show, like, you know, they do go hand in hand, I think, music and, I mean, you see how many artists or how many musicians have tattoos all over them and everything else, too, so.
It definitely works out good for my lifestyle and what I'm trying to do right now and making it work, being able to make my own schedule and still having time to rehearse as much as I need to stay on top of that game as well. Definitely is a good, solid place to be in my life at 33 years old. Right. I feel like, finally, something's working out.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you on this. I'm hoping that, you know, right now I'm currently balancing the day job with what I really want to do with this show and or just get into music somehow. I don't really know where this is going to take me, but I'm just kind of along for the ride. I would definitely love to be involved in music more, and so hopefully I can slowly.
I would say this is definitely a good foot in the door just to meet everyone you want to meet and put them on a platform that it gets people excited about it. You know,
yeah. It's great networking. I've met so many cool people all around town just doing this show, and it's awesome.
Oh yeah.
So, let's backtrack a bit. Let's talk about. Did you grow up here in St. Louis?
Grew up in Villa Ridge, Missouri, which is out 44 West, about the Washington exit.
And then, what got you into playing guitar and stuff?
I believe I went to a garage sale at my neighbor's house when I was like 12 or 13, and the guy, he seemed to be like an older hippie guy. I didn't know it at the time, but he sold me his record player and a stack of records for like $15.
You remember what was in there?
I think there was some Zeppelin in there, some Beatles. You gotta have some Beatles. I believe there's one Grateful Dead record in there, Pink Floyd. It's all like the rocker starter pack.
That's a pretty solid pickup for $15.
Jethro Tull is another one I really remember being in there that rocked out quite a bit.
Yeah,
but I spent at least a year jamming out to those records. Convinced my parents that they should buy me a guitar at 13. Probably rocked it for a couple years. Or attempted to rock it, therefore. Played a little bit of guitar, trying to get into the jazz band at the high school so I could have an hour of guitar class in high school. And after the first semester, the band leader was like, maybe you should try playing the bass. So I tried playing the bass. Next thing you know, I was definitely playing the bass better than I was playing the guitar. It just seemed like I really took to it. Started playing some upright, too. Did some jazz competitions and whatnot, state jazz competitions, district jazz competitions. Played the trombone also, like in the marching band in high school.
Cool, man.
At the same time, I think I answered, it was my freshman year in high school, I answered an ad at Fazio's Frets and Friends that hooked me up with Chris Hobbs and Chad Jensen. They were playing with, I don't think the band really even had a name at that point. I think it might have, original name might have been Vivid Aura.
Okay.
We had a different singer at the time. We were working in the studio with Scott and Richie, Scott Gerken, and Richie Kreibom. Sure. I guess Casey had heard some of the material we were working on. We had fired the singer and kind of things all kind of came together there. So Cabo was like my main thing from 15 till 21. We did lots of really cool.
That's crazy, man.
Stuff. Got to play lots of cool venues. The Pageant, Mississippi Nights, Riverport Amphitheater, played Point Fest.
Yeah.
Some of the bigger stuff for a 17, 18 year old. You know? And I was a lot younger than those guys. I think the drummer, Chad, he was probably like 28 whenever I was 16 or so. So there was a pretty big age gap. But the fact that I played bass, you know, there wasn't. I guess that's kind of how I got into bass too. Is there wasn't a whole lot of even if you're a shitty bass player, you can still have a gig because there's just not enough bass players out there. So. Cabo, we did that for a pretty long time. I think around the same time, I guess closer to my 20s, 21, I started playing with some other bands and kind of got more of a feel of the style of music that I was wanting to be a part of and wanting to play. Me and Cabo kind of split ways for a good while. I guess that's when Brian came on and they had their success story.
Yeah.
I took off from music for maybe like a year after that. Just kind of wasn't really sure what I was going to do musically, or hadn't found the right people yet. I picked up a gig with Ed Rohan from Washington, Missouri, in the Roadhouse Band. Did a lot of honky tonk type stuff. I think that's kind of maybe what started to get me more into that style of music, even though it was cover material that paid pretty well. Again, being a bass player, heavy sure. gig. That ran for a couple of years or so, I guess. Then I started to think that maybe I could put my own band together. We did a lot of funkier stuff back in the day, like a lot of older classics and even newer stuff, anything from James Brown and Doobie Brothers and Curtis Mayfield to Little Feat or ZZ Top, or you know, any of that kind of classic cover stuff. We would yeah. do it our own way, funk it up a little bit. We had the bands Headphonics, and then that band eventually evolved into Big Chief and the Smoke Signals with Heather Manley. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her.
No, I don't think
she does quite a bit. She's an OG in the community as yeah. far as she used to run a lot of open mics around town back in the day. She owned a shop on Delmar Loop, Mikasa, probably 10 or 12, 15 years ago. It seems so long ago now.
Yeah.
But more and more, we started to bring her around and try to get her to come play with us. She was singing with the Schwag at the time. And we're like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool if you could come sing with us. And it took us some coercing to get her to come play with us. But finally, she did. And I guess me and her have been playing together on and off for 8 years or so now, maybe even longer. Duo gigs together, or different stuff. We do quite a bit of duet material together, a lot of John Prine and Johnny Cash, June Carter type stuff.
Okay.
So Big Chief and the Smoke Signals was really heavily, it needed a keyboard player to keep that band alive, and we cycled through every single keyboard player in town. We just couldn't really keep anybody in the seat.
Yeah.
So me and Carson kind of were trying to rework what we were going to do, and decided that Oak, Steel, and Lightning was... It wasn't Oak, Steel, and Lightning yet, but it was what we wanted to do as far as trying to maybe condense what we were doing down to a three-piece and be able to actually make some money as musicians and work on original material and really have a solid foundation of where we wanted to go with the music as a core trio, and then be able to pull in some guys like Johnny Campbell on the fiddle or Scott on the pedal steel whenever we can get them in the band. Heather still comes and sings with us on quite a few gigs. We're still trying to kind of like work out how we want to present that to the public. You know, maybe it's a Heather Manley with Oak, Steel, and Lightning, so we can kind of showcase what she does and still keep our identity as a band as well.
I like just hearing that thing. I went to thinking of Jason Isbell now. Like, he does a lot of stuff, just his band, but his wife Amanda Shires, when she's available, she jumps up and sings some stuff with them and plays violin and stuff with them. And it's so it's an extra special treat when you get Amanda
for sure.
that shows up.
For
and
sure.
It's, but it's
and that's we just know so many musicians, and there are so many good musicians, and so many good musicians that we want to play with all the time. But logistically, it's hard to get everybody in the same spot because everyone has kind of their own agenda and what everyone's doing. So yeah, when we can get some really hot players in there to like help spice up our mix, it's exhilarating. Like Saturday night, we played at Atomic Cowboy and did kind of a late night after party from the Split Lip Rayfield show, and had Gerard from Grass Fed Mule Acoustics Anonymous hop up on stage with us, Matt and Justin Torres, and I can't remember the guitar player's name from Cluster Pluck, all got up and jammed with
Chris.
Us as well. I think it might be Chris. I could look that up, but. But yeah, man, getting all those guys on stage and tearing it up, like, that's what I really want to do music for, is that feeling that I get when it's really hitting good, you know?
Yeah, Cluster Pluck's another great band I love watching in town, and did you make it to that Split Lip show?
I did not make it to the Split Lip show, unfortunately. Were you there?
Nope. No, I didn't make it either. But
have you seen them before?
No, nope. I really wanted to.
You know about the gas tank bass though?
Yeah, I've heard
the Weed Eater string on it. Man,
that I've been really wanting to catch them live, and like I forget what I end up doing, but But anyway, but yeah, like, and then having grass fed and cluster pluck opening, I was like, man, that's a great bill. Like, that's
for sure. And Drew did a great job on. He's like, man, we should really get this after party going, and I really need Oxygen Lightning to do this so that we can pull these guys down here. Yeah. And I was like, well, that sounds good. I'm not sure it's gonna work, but
all right.
We had a very good crowd for, you know, it was a free show, so that, again, win for Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thinking of that, you ever listen to Ben Miller Band?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't tell you that I know anything off the top of my
They're
head.
They're out of Joplin. They're they just made my news feed today. They were a 3-piece band for a long time, and they kind of started out of a open mic jam session kind of thing. They all met and they decided to form a band, and so they had Ben sang and had like a stomp box and guitar and played some slide stuff. Scott is their bass player. He plays like a wash tub with a, you know, stick and a string on her, and and he gets some crazy, you know, tone for a wash tub, you know, like
I wonder if I might have seen them at the Columbia Roots and Blues. They like maybe just like set up in the grass.
I'm sure. I mean, they've been around a while, and they play a lot of different festivals and a lot of, I mean, they play here in St. Louis quite often since it's not far from home. And
sure,
they went on tour with ZZ Top for a while, even like toured like Europe and things with them. And so, because I think like Billy Gibbons is a fan, so like he said, hey, you come play and stuff like that. So. But anyway, they just recently, their percussion, who's one of my favorites to watch in there, Doug, he plays like washboard, plays full drum kit, plays trombone, plays like electric spoons and all kinds
electric
of...
Electric spoons,
yeah,
nice.
He runs them through what he calls them spoon pedals, but they're essentially guitar pedals and everything else, but he runs them and he gets all kinds of like crazy effects out of it, like sounds like a Pink Floyd concert, man, and he's playing it out of spoons, and it's like, it's crazy. It's like...
we'll have to check that out.
But Doug just recently stepped down from the band, parted ways. I'm not sure if he's got a new project he's going to do or what's going on there. But they added another Tyrannosaurus Chicken.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know those guys.
There's two members of that band that are now going to be in Ben Miller Band. So
I see.
So kind of essentially a little super group kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be here at Off Broadway. Real soon, February.
I can almost throw a rock and hit that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Maybe a paper airplane.
Sure.
Or a rock paper airplane.
Yeah. There you go.
See what I did there?
Yep. Ba-dum-bum. But yeah, man. So, Split Lips, though, still on the list to catch a live show there sometime. I got a friend, he used to jump in, you know, when like I mentioned Lance, like when Lance Bammer played, he would jump in and he had this, I think he called a stump fiddle or something.
Stump fiddle, yeah.
He had like a bike horn kind of thing on there, all kinds of little thing.
It's not Lee Medford, is it?
Yeah, Lee, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Lee, for sure.
Yeah, so...
Lee's played stump fiddle many a time at an OSL show or anywhere else.
Well,
he played in some Big Chief and the Smoke Signal shows, too.
All right. Yeah, man. Small world, man.
For sure.
Yeah, that's funny.
I was just hanging out with Lee before I came here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
At the Atomic Cowboy, by the way.
There you go.
Drew's going to love that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Lee's, you know, another really talented guy. And
he's a talented beard grower, too.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm envious of that, man.
It's probably because he's using the Oak Steel and Lightning brand beard oil.
Yeah,
I think I probably got some of that around here somewhere. It can help you out.
Yeah, I need to step my game up, man.
you got the flannel going.
Yeah.
So,
but I think Lee's one of the first people I remember mentioning Split Lip to me. So, years ago.
Yeah, he would know because he's definitely in the know.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's actually how a lot of these recordings came out of Saturday Night's performance. Was a guy that Lee knows. Otter O'Neill.
I know Otter too. I met Otter through Driving Wheel.
Okay.
He hangs with those guys a lot, does a lot of their recordings and stuff. And
yeah, he gave us some really quality recordings from the Saturday Night Show.
I see him out at Oyster Bar a lot, and I've ran into him at Rose Music Hall in Columbia, and he runs up there too. So it's kind of crazy where I run into him at from you know, all over the place. And
for sure.
But hey, if there's a good show, man, I'm not afraid to take a little drive and say.
I was just saying that to my wife earlier this evening. Oh, the things we'll do for music city. Yeah. Sitting in an hour traffic from here to the Grove.
Yeah.
Like, wait, it's because there's snow on the ground. That's why it took so long.
Yeah.
But sitting in traffic, that doesn't happen.
Right.
We'll drive anywhere, man. We drove all the way to the West Coast for fish at the Gorge and Lake Tahoe and lots of fish shows.
Sure.
Phases of the Moon Festival. I don't know if you got a chance to hear about that. Check it out. It was 2 years ago. They didn't get to do it this year. They were trying to merge with Harvest Festival down in Arkansas, and I guess the road had a mudslide. They couldn't get into the property, and pretty much, I'm not exactly sure what happened. But.
Yeah. I just put in a vacation day to drive to Nashville February 18th for Rival Sons and Tyler Bryan and the Shakedown together there, and very excited about that one.
Do you have a place to stay when you're there?
No, I'll probably just turn around and drive home because my buddy's got to work in the morning.
It might even be an option for you, but I got some friends there in Nashville, Johnny Campbell.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you that story of how I met him.
Yeah.
We used Airbnb. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
So we Airbnb'd in Nashville and found Bluegrass Band Tour Bus, $90 a night. I'm like, well, all right, that sounds great. Me and my wife were actually in the process of, this is our transition phase from the country house into a bus, like downsizing to get, we want to get on a school bus full time. Living situation.
Yeah.
For a couple of years. See how that goes.
Yeah.
But we were like, oh, maybe, you know, check out this bus in Nashville and see what it's like, you know. So we get there and I was kind of worried about, you know, just staying, pull up kind of in the ghetto, it seemed like, you know. But we got this nice tour bus in the backyard and guy's out there in his overalls and his cowboy hat on, like chopping down a tree or something.
Yeah.
His wife comes out to meet us and they got a bunch of chickens running up. Next thing you know, we'd stay there Friday and Saturday night for Tedeschi Trucks Band at the Ryman Auditorium.
Nice. Yeah.
And the next day, I guess it was Sunday, you know, I was in the kitchen. They're feeding us breakfast and we're picking in the kitchen. He plays the fiddle, his wife plays the bass, and I was playing some guitar. So our relationship kind of grew. I started booking them some shows here in St. Louis on their way passing through to Colorado. And they had some friends out in Colorado who were passing through on their way to Nashville and needed to pick up a show in St. Louis. So we hired them to open up for us at the Angry Beaver. I don't know if you've been there,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It was an interesting show. But Jimbo Darvall and the Truckadores came and opened up for us there, and we've kind of established a good relationship with them. That's how we got to go out in November and hang out with those guys in Colorado. And Johnny's been a good connector down there in Nashville too, so it's kind of like fun how that's all coming together.
Sure, yeah, man.
I guess that would segue into the song that I wrote about hanging out with Johnny.
Yeah, let's hear it, man. I'm always a sucker for some good live acoustic on the show.
It's kind of about how like the honky tonks down in Nashville didn't really deliver quite the honky tonk that I was looking for.
Well, I heard that Nashville had the sound. It was where it all began. Well, the Grand Ole Opry was pumping out tunes from the next big country band. Thought I'd have a look and drive on into town. Down on Music Road. After two nights at the Ryman, got shit on these pickers that I know. Hats and paisley button shirts. These cowboys ain't got no soul. I wanna hear some fiddle. I wanna hear some steel. Delibin' and guitar strings. A bass that I can feel. Won't you turn it up a little louder? Won't you turn it up till 10? You can buy the next round of us back here again.
Chasing the Sunset.
Yeah. So you said you wrote that about Johnny?
It was pretty much like riding back from the experience with Johnny and hanging out in Nashville. It was pretty much my first time even really going down there to experience the, you know, lower Broadway section of Nashville and what that was all about. And you kind of like walk past all these places where all these bands are kind of on display in the windows because they don't want you to come in there. And all the places are packed, jam-packed full of people. And it's not that there's not good talent down there, but it just wasn't quite the sound that I was expecting to please my ears with. It was all just kind of bland and all the same, you know. But maybe that was the time of day I was there or the places I was looking into or something. I don't know.
From the from some of the stories I've heard, I got a couple of friends that run, you know, hang out down there, singer-songwriters and musicians, and from some of their stories, it seems like a lot of the really good talents actually not on Broadway.
Well, yeah, they're not playing. They're not playing there.
So, but yeah, I there's a song. Kind of a similar feel in the message, but there's a guy I really like, Will Hogue. You ever heard of him yet?
I don't think so.
He's a Nashville singer-songwriter. He's been at it for a long time, and recently sold a song to Eli Young Band and went number one on country radio as Even If It Breaks Your Heart. But anyway, he's got a song he wrote with Wade Bowen, and it's called a song, Another Song Nobody Will Hear, and it's all about like modern country and how he wants more Johnny and June, more all the stuff, you know, not another song about pickup trucks and stuff or whatever, you know. It's like, so anyway, you have to check it out. It's a good, what, it's a lot of similar type of messaging.
Are you familiar with Daryl Scott?
I don't think I know Daryl Scott.
I think Dixie Chicks covered a few of his songs, but that Long Time Gone by Dixie Chicks is one of his songs. But he recorded, I wish I could remember this guy's name. I want to say it's like Bill Boydington or something like that, but it's like a country music I'm talking to you song. It's like definitely kind of like what's up with the scene nowadays, you know. And it's not that I can, as much as I want to pretend like I'm a cowboy and wear boots and put on a cowboy hat, the boots don't fit my feet right, and my head looks funny in a cowboy hat, you know. But I guess lyrically, like where we're coming from and what we're trying to say through our music, you know, isn't all rainbows and butterflies, but it can be at times, you know. I think Sturgill Simpson did a good job of really changing the face of what country music can be.
Yeah.
Or what people think country music is, you know.
I wrote all that down here, man. There's some guys that came to mind here in Oak, Steel, and Lightning, and kind of were, you know, and it's kind of cool that guys like you said, like Sturgill, Chris Stapleton, Jason Isbell, I know one of my favorites is Whitey Morgan.
Yep.
And all these guys are really, you know, doing it. They're out, you know, obviously Chris and Sturgill and Jason, they were just on the cover of GQ, which I thought was cool that they're, you know, I don't read GQ much, but just the fact that those, you know, they're acknowledging these guys who are some of my favorites and have been favorites for a while, sure. And now they're, you know, household names kind of, so it's...
Sure, I was a huge Steel Drivers fan, and the fact that, you know, Chris Stapleton was even, I mean, not that he's not a great songwriter, don't get me wrong, but the fact that he was even going to be up for that award to be Songwriter of the Year, I didn't realize that other people, I mean, who am I kidding, you know, yeah. Chris Stapleton is great, but...
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, it kind of was a little bit, I mean, you know, it's great for him, I mean, things are, it's, I'm glad he, you know, it's overdue success, but the fact that, like, for me, it was always kind of cool to have that little, you know, a little secret kind of thing, you know, like, knowing Steel Drivers, knowing Chris Stapleton, and then now, you know, he plays with Justin Timberlake,
for sure.
And everybody's like, oh, we love Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of sad that the secret got out, that's for sure. And, yeah, that's something me and my wife almost say on a daily basis, because we'll put Chris Stapleton radio on, and all this Justin Timberlake starts popping up on there. It's like, whoa, that's not what we were going... I mean, even though, okay, I assume that the, whatever the... Drink You Away song. That's a Chris Stapleton song that Justin Timberlake's doing.
No, it's Justin recorded that like more of a pop,
sure,
R&B kind of vibe to it on his album. It was on Justin's 2020 album. It was covered.
But it's his song.
Justin wrote that song. Yeah, but he always said it was a country song. Like even though it's more pop R&B on his album, he said that's country lyrics if you listen. And he had a guy, I don't know if he had anything to do with it, but a guy, David Fanning, picked up that song and made it a country radio song for, it was on, played on the highway. I don't think it ever really charted very well, but it played on the highway for a while, and I listened to that on my Sirius satellite, and so that it got some a little more country feel to it. But then hearing Chris and him do it together, like, I feel like that's pretty much how Justin always felt like it deserved to be a country
and
song.
That, so. I mean, yeah, hands down, that was an awesome performance. I've watched it several times, and definitely looking at, was it Sam Bush and Jerry Douglas's face in the audience, like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same feeling I had, but hands down, it was an awesome performance.
Sure.
And Chris, man, wow.
I saw him play at Firebird, like, you know, a couple months back, almost a year ago, probably. Closer to a year ago, but I saw him at Firebird, and even then I was like, you know, place sold out, and this is long before CMT thing and CMAs or whatever. I was like, man, this is the last time I'll see him in a club. Like, I know things are gonna blow up here. I mean, that record Traveler is incredible. Like the whole thing, beginning to end, is a fantastic album. So,
yeah, man, and his wife too. You know, getting in there,
sure.
I heard that she was a waitress at the Station Inn.
Oh, yeah?
Are you familiar with the Station Inn?
No.
Station Inn is the oldest bluegrass club in the world. And they've just built a complete hotel, high-rise, I don't know, maybe it's condominiums or something all around there, but the developers realized how precious this spot is and made their plans around this building. And it's just a hole-in-the-wall place. You go in there on a Sunday night, and it's jam night, and there's probably easily 30 or 40 pickers there, and I counted 150 people sitting in seats watching people just kind of sit around in a circle and jam. Nobody's on stage or nothing. It's just like, that's the scene, you know?
Nice.
It's interesting, though.
It's just, for me, man, like, you know, it's nice to hear there's a guy, and I say it a lot, even regardless of what kind of music it is. I mean, this is, we're talking, you know, traditional country and honky-tonk kind of stuff. But regardless of any type of music, I get tired of people saying there's like, you know, they're not making good music anymore. They're not this kind of music or whatever it is. But whatever that is for you, There's somebody else that likes it too, and they're making music. I mean, there's lots of great. If you go out and look for it, it's just not in your face on the radio. So that's the problem.
That's KDHX for me. Like, yeah. Definitely puts it out there to introduce me to all kinds of artists and all different kinds of genres.
Yeah.
I feel like they are working hard to keep that going. But people such as yourself bringing around, you know, podcasts that doesn't necessarily focus on one style of music, you're definitely kind of reaching out to a lot of different styles.
Yeah.
That's going to open up other people's ears too.
Sure.
You know, people that might like blues might hear this country song they like, or vice versa, or however it goes, you know.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, there's a lot of crossover in all of it. You know, there's, if you like blues, there's some rock, you know, blues-based rock. There's country with blues licks in it and stuff. I mean, it all, there's a lot of, you know, where the blurred line sort of thing, you know. So it's not always
cookie cutter situation. Right. And these days, I mean, it seems like it's almost everything's been done, sort of, kind of. I mean, we can keep doing it, but to break some sort of new mold, I don't know. It's not to say that can't happen, you know, but is it something that the masses are going to latch on to if you're, like, really breaking the mold on something? That's why I feel like a lot of my stuff, I try to just keep it simple and keep it obtainable to something that someone could be like, yeah, I can relate to that.
And yeah.
Speaking the truth, I think most of the time lends to people feeling it more than trying to write about something you don't know. You know? Like, you're writing about something you do know, your friends are generally going to... And maybe that I'm also biased. You know, my friends are telling me, oh, that's a great song, that's a great song. But, you know, you get out there in the real world, and is it a great song? Yeah. Well, you got a lot of competition out there, but it's still... nonetheless, a song, and it's an original song. So,
I mean, for me, it's believability. You know, like if you sing a song from the heart, that, you know, this is, you know, you can tell when the guy's feeling that emotion and stuff. You know, it's like it all comes out, and that's really why I connect to a lot of the singer songwriters that I do, because, you know, they, even if it's a made up story, you know, like. I mentioned Will Hogue, and like I said, there's I've seen him live a bunch of times, and he says, like, how people will come up to him, like, he'll write a song about cheating or whatever and stuff, and he talks about his wife and his kids and things, and so people are like, you really did that, didn't you, or whatever, and he's like, oh, just like, you know, it's not always are true stories, you know.
Sure.
But as a good writer, you're able to put yourself in those shoes and write that story.
Yeah.
But debate it, you know, to convey it and invoke that emotion in everybody else, and you know, that's, for me, that's where it's at. Like, that's the price of admission right there, so.
For sure, and it being believable, I think that's also the, I mean, I've been recently reading some books on thinking like a pro songwriter and, you know, creating good imagery in your songs. And that's not something that you can just sit down and it comes out, but it does, you can at times, you know, whenever the creativeness strikes and you're ready for it, and you prepare yourself for it, like, you just kind of, like, put yourself in the moment, and it can come out through. It does take the time to sit down and actually do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes to you while you're driving to the post office the other day, but sometimes, I mean, I try to get up, drink my coffee in the morning, sit down, and that's generally when it comes between, like, 8 and 10 a.m., like, something happens, and the more I sit down and do it, the more that it comes. And not that every single thing that I put out there is gold by any means, but you got to sift through the ashes to find the fire, if you will. You know what I mean?
Well, there was an interesting, I've talked about it before on the show, but there's an interesting story. I heard Neil Young on Howard Stern, and he was telling a story about, you know, kind of that similar thing. You never know, really sure when the creativity is going to strike. But he was like in some kind of fever, laid up in a hospital bed, and asked for like a notepad and just started scribbling stuff down. And, like, you know, in the haze of this fever, didn't know what he was, you know, didn't make any sense. But when he came to afterwards, started breaking it down, like what he wrote down and all these things. And out of that, like, three of his biggest songs came, you know, like, I forget the titles, or it was Cinnamon Girl or something, you know. But it's just like, it's kind of crazy, like, you know, you never know. He doesn't know what he's writing. He just, but it's like, and it comes out, and it's like you're able to piece that together and make a song. And
I think that just owning a laptop has definitely stepped up my game in the songwriting situations. Like years and years and years ago, I would come up with little ditties here and there, but not playing them with a band or not keeping up on remembering the song would cause me to lose the song, and not having any valid recording of it, or even having it scribbled down on a notepad through several moves and back and forth across the country. Like, none of that shit ever got saved, you know. But
I talked to a guy the other day, Adam Ray. He's a comic, lives out in L.A. and stuff, but he was here at the Funny Bone for the weekend, and I got to hang out with him and record a podcast. But he said, you know, he's done similar things with his jokes and his comedy. Lost notebooks and things or whatever along the way. But he said a good tip he gave was he emails himself all the time, because your email is always going to be there. It's like, yeah. So he, you know, from his smartphone, he'll email himself a premise or a joke or whatever it is. So that might be a little tip for songwriting too.
Like, for sure, for sure. I guess at this current location, there is no Wi-Fi or internet service, so yeah. I am relying on the backup, and it never fails. I like get a really good line, and then my computer's like, "Oh, hey, we need to reboot," and lost that.
Yeah.
You know, well, those two good lines. Those are great lines. I'll never be able to remember those ever again. <you know? laughs> But I think that's also the universe's way of being like, "Yeah, that shit wasn't good enough, man.
Right.
Start over."
Yeah.
So I'll take it though, man. Like, it's crazy the past year how spending the time on focusing on trying to write some original music, and at first it wasn't coming out very easily, you know. And next thing you know, it just started like spurting and spurting and spurting. I probably got like, I would venture to say 10 to 12 good solid songs and another 10 to 12 solid ideas on top of that that still need to be worked through, and that's kind of the process we're working on right now, is getting through those and seeing what's going to end up on the record and whatnot. But
so do you write the three we mentioned earlier?
I did. I wrote all those songs. And I've collaborated with Carson Mann on a lot of that stuff. We bounce ideas back and forth. I got another good friend, Andy Grassi, who plays with the River Rats, Alsop Grassi and Haley, and I like to bounce my ideas off of him, because he's always got good ideas as just different chords to try here and try there, and it seems to like really help my writing process to be able to have somebody to like bounce it back off of that I respect musically. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the line in On the Road when you said something about the drummer keeping time all over the place, and then it's like, I guess it's all up to me, but I can only count till three, or count to three. And it's all waltzes and slow songs
the waltzes and sad songs. I kind of stole that from a Cake song, which I recently found out within the past couple of weeks here is actually a Willie Nelson song. Waltzes and sad songs aren't selling this year. Waltzes are in three time, if you will, right? So that's kind of where that line comes from. And drummer situations, man, over the years, like, I've played with lots and lots and lots of drummers, and all of them are very good. Some of them sucked, but it's kind of just a joke, you know. Mostly that, and that was kind of like trying to write that into the song too, is like a little hiccup on the drum beat, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's good comedy. I think that's kind of, and playing musically with, or playing with musicians, and when musicians hear that line, they're kind of like, yeah, truth.
Yeah.
I know where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a laugh out of that one. That was so we gonna throw some of those on to close out the show. What I wanted to ask, because it was, I like to put it up there to see what happens just for fun, but put a picture up and ask if anybody has any questions. And
sure.
One of the only ones I had was from a friend, Joe Bazzelli, and he asked if you would explain the name.
I believe it was Carson that came up with the name in the brainstorming session, but it was kind of like a metaphor for the ingredients of what it takes to rock. Like, the oak is the wood, the steel is the strings, or could be the drums and the rings of your drums, but the lightning is the magic that happens whenever it's what happens between here and there, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a good name. It kind of fits. It's got a rustic kind of edge to the name, you know, so.
Well, that's like, I mean, there's a lot to a name, you know, like the fact that, like, all, like, the really good, like, one-word names are all gone, you know, the Beatles, the Who, the what, you know, it's like, sure, it's sure. like that form. So you have to get more creative in a couple of words sometimes, like, just because, you know, there's so many different band names I've already taken, so. So we struggled even a little bit with coming up with a name for the show when we started this. You know, it was kind of, we had a couple ideas and we threw it out there. We Googled a couple different other, you know, names to make sure they weren't already taken, but this was all Rock River Podcast came out of our friend. You know, we put it out there and they picked this one as like the clear winner, so we're like, all right, there it is, that's our name. So it was all just kind of a play on rock, paper, scissors and stuff. So that's how we got that one. But so we have any dates on the calendar?
Yeah, the dates. I guess we're playing the 30th. Well, let's start this Saturday, the 23rd, which may be before this is released.
Yeah.
But I'm going out to Colorado to open up for Jim O'Darwell and the Truckadors across the street from the National Western Stock Show at the Denver Coliseum. I believe it's called Globe Hall. I'm just doing a solo opening position there. Then the 30th of January, we're playing at 2720 as part of the On the Road to Summer Camp.
Yeah.
Battle of the Bands.
Is that a Clusterpluck on that, too?
I heard through the grapevine, Clusterpluck, that they were not playing. I also heard the Driftaways were supposed to be on there, and they're not playing. So that actually might bring up our, you know, competition level to something that we can obtain if we can get some peeps out.
Yeah.
Then we're playing Mo Roots at Bass River Resort, I believe, April 29th and 30th. And then my festival that I put together, we have set the tentative date for September 30th and October 1st, the Pickin' on the Codeway Music Festival. I was the executive producer of that.
Oh, wow.
Last year through Nonsense Brothers. We kind of worked on it together, but it's kind of my brainchild as far as, hey, I want to get all my favorite bands together and hang out on the river for a couple days and do it upright with some big lights and big sound. And got Bird Dog Whiskey to be a sponsor. They were a huge sponsor, among other sponsors like Angry Beaver and I'm trying to think who else. All for One Tattoo. I happened to get in there. But yeah, we had some really good sponsors. Bird Dog gave us like 50 bottles of 55ths of all the different flavors of Bird Dog whiskey. And we really had a good time
out
there, all the bands. You know, we had Acoustics Anonymous, we had Mountain Sprout, we had Grass-Fed Mule, we had Cree Rider Family Band. We had Jesse Irwin. I'm trying to think who else was on there. Wayne and Bowden and the Sons of Ill Repute. Johnny Campbell and the Bluegrass Drifters. We had several. I think we had almost 20 bands out there. Sean Cannon's Hat Trick was out there.
Yeah.
And we plan to do it again this year. We're kind of in the motions of getting the ball rolling on it, setting the date and getting our headliners in place. But we kind of know who the underlying support acts will be, all of our favorite groups. So,
yeah,
kind of trying to bring that outlaw, honky tonkin', string band, Pride of Missouri type stuff that we do so well here.
Yeah,
out to the sticks in Steelville.
I'm looking to. So last summer I put on my first show for the 1 year birthday party anniversary, whatever you want to call it, of the show and. Did like a little acoustic thing out at Steve's Hot Dogs, and it turned out great. Steve was
there at the TikTok Tavern.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, Steve was super cool to help post in TikTok. You know, allowing us to hang out there and stuff. It was a little hot that day, but so luckily the air conditioner was working. But we had a great time. And but I'm looking to do it up bigger this year, doing the second annual. And so yeah, I'm just kind of getting started on. Same. I'm in a similar position, kind of starting to brainstorm, trying to come up with some ideas for what I want to do. But I'm excited to see what happens with what I'm able to pull off this year. So, but I'm ultimately, you know, I would love to do maybe festival or whatever it takes, but something along those lines. I have all these ideas of different ways I could help showcase all the talent that's been on the show and stuff. I've been thinking about I used to be a big fan of the Point Essentials,
sure,
and stuff and trying to come up with some different mix like that and just different things that we can all help benefit from,
For sure. And that's what I think it all, it's networking with each other, but yeah, giving everybody else a helping hand, helping us all meet the right people that we need to meet to pull off what we're trying to do. Because there is so much creativeness going on in so many aspects, not only in the music production, but in producing a podcast and music videos and all the other pieces that really help give a solid package,
Sure.
For all the bands that need it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's probably the biggest message I try to, preach on the show is just community. Try to build something cool here in town for St. Louis and where we can all work together and, from the sound, the bands, the, venues, the light guys, we all got to work together. We all benefit. We all...
For sure. The more our scene puts into it, the more our scene will get out of it, and I think that's stands true, and that's one thing that I think, at least in St. Louis, that bring a lot of the people that I see out and about on a regular basis are out because of the music, and those are some of my, I wouldn't necessarily have them over to my house type friends, but when we're out and about, it's good to see all the same faces wherever we go, and know that we've got each other's backs in that regard,
Most of the people I've been seeing out now, they've become some of my better friends. The fact that, I can count on seeing them a couple times a month at all these shows. We all run in the same, couple of shows and stuff like that. So, but I see them probably more than I see, my high school buddies that I'm friends, and stuff like that. Just because we have a lot of similar interest with music and stuff. But it's all music that brings us together. So it's...
That's for sure.
It's cool, man. Well, Ryan, this has been a lot of fun, man. I've really enjoyed getting to hang with you and talking. Man.
It's been awesome, dude.
I'll put some tunes. I was thinking Lonesome Whippoorwill and On the Road. Is that cool with you?
We can maybe leave On the Road off there and put Tiny Acorn, but that's really up to you.
We can do that.
I like the On the Road's got that steel on there, though, too. Yeah. So whatever you want to do, man.
I just love that. That's for me, that steel is like... that traditional honky tonk classic country. So, I just really was drawn to that one.
Put that one on.
All right. So, I'll throw those on. And again, Bandcamp, Oak Steel Lightning, and then oaksteellightning.com.
That's correct.
They got a
Facebook. You can like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Trying to get our numbers up. We're pretty low. I think for some reason, people that are booking you from other places that don't know you, look at your Facebook likes to see how low you're liked.
And that's such a crock, man. I get why what they're doing, but the fact that you can buy Facebook likes.
Sure.
I mean, you can go on there and see that they're all from Indonesia or whatever. It's so it doesn't. That's a load. It's so I don't know. At least they're genuine likes. It's I haven't bought any likes or nothing. These people actually that clicked like on my page. So
let's say you're somewhere close to 2,000, right? Or
I'm 1,200 right now, or something like that.
I thought you were up there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I think I wrote something. I wrote on Facebook the other day. I was closing in on 2,000, and my wife's wouldn't that be more 1,800 or something? Be closing in on 2,000? And I'm keep it down. I'm just trying to. I'm getting excited. All right, so
fake it till you make
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So, but no, I'm even that, 1,200 people, a year ago, we got excited because we hit 400. So it's now that we're at 1,200 a year later is crazy.
That's all it takes really is time, man. And this Oak Steel and Lightning is a very fresh band. We're just now a little over a year. And just to see the amount of support that's happened in the past year.
Sure, man.
Is definitely giving me the encouragement to keep it going and try to, keep a foot in everybody's ass to keep it going,
Oh, yeah, that's exciting, man. I'm enjoying, doing this and being involved in whatever way I can and meeting guys like you and helping out, giving being able to help showcase those songs and the band. Yeah. And so I appreciate you coming or you know inviting me over to your home here.
I appreciate you battling the snow.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I
meant to bring it up. I was going to ask if you had your milk and bread and everything because everybody got it.
I definitely have milk and I have bread, but I got that like 3 days ago. And I didn't know it was going to snow until it started snowing.
Yeah.
So
everybody.
Still outside the loop.
My buddy posted a picture of from the bread aisle, and it's like quite clean, man. I was just like, it's funny that people freak out and have to go get bread and milk.
Over, you know, an inch of snow.
Yeah. Right. Come out the 30th, you said?
30th, 2720, yeah, we could definitely use the support. I'm not exactly sure the time. I believe Echo Bass Quartet and the Break Time is the other guys on the bill.
Okay.
So, and it's on the road to, so we'd really like to get there. And
yeah, that'd be a big one.
For sure, for sure.
And Oak Steel Lightning, you can go on there and get some tunes. You can get your... they can even purchase shirts through the site.
Shirts and beard oil, yeah. Yeah. Oak Steel Lightning brand beard elixir. As you can see, I mean, if you can see out there in Radio Land, the beard girth here is pretty large and in charge.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Ryan. I appreciate it,
Thank you, Shane.
Another show seems like we play most every night. We play it the same, we play it again. Make sure that you got it right. Played this one before, seems like almost 200 times. Would you show me the chords? Is it the 1-5 or 4? Or something you pulled out of your behind? Would you play me an easy country song? It's not hard to sing along. Remember when we had all day? We'd howl at the moon, sleep until noon, then pick up our guitars and play. Come and go, gets hard to keep the flow when they're bouncing all over the town. It's four on the floor, but who's keeping score? Sometimes I think he's just not trying. That leaves it up to me. I can't count past three. It's all waltzes and sad songs I know. I'm the last one here with your tears in my beard. A bartender says I've gotta go, but I wanna hear an easy country song, not hard to sing along. Remember when we had all day? We'd howl at the moon, sleep until noon, and pick up our guitars and play. Growing old now. ever selling the devil our souls. We sell them in easy country songs, not hard to sing along. Remember when we had all day? We would howl at the moon, sleep until noon, before our hair started turning to gray.